Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Just to catch people up, we going back quite a few weeks now, just the fact that we use terms in the church that often we don't understand. Some of the things are actually just kind of funny, like it used to be said, we pray traveling mercies over you, and it's not a terminology we'd use today. But we also talked about that we can say things that can be really disturbing to somebody that doesn't know the Bible. Like, are you washed in the blood, or are you covered in the blood? Now, my point to that was that we can use terminology that they have no understanding about, but we also have to understand there's something really powerful about the blood. And that's why we're doing this study. Now, I have a question for you guys. How many like mystery movies? Good mystery, like thriller, mystery, action. I like an action mystery movie. How many have watched a movie where you don't know it until the very end, and then you can begin to go and play the movie back? Sometimes the actual movie does that, where they kind of play back moments, and you can see where they are setting things up, and that person looks like a genius at the very end. You know what I'm talking about? A silly one that we watched recently is Red Notice with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. And it's interesting because throughout the movie, he's doing little things that he's planting or doing. And later on, they go back and they show you and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that. The first time, the second time, of course you see it. But the first time I'm like, I didn't know he was doing that. I didn't see that moment. Like for instance, they're in prison and they're putting rocks to fill in a window. And he just happens to put a little teeny rock in one spot. And you're like, whatever, you know, he's putting a rock in there. Well, later on when they're trying to escape, he pulls that one little rock and he had created that to be like the focal point. So when he pulled that one rock, the whole wall fell down. And you're like, well, that was a genius move. And he does that throughout the movie. I say that because we're studying, I've come to realize this as I've been studying the blood, that we often see things from our little perspective from our very, 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 very short time on this planet. The more I study, the more humbled I get to go, wow, I actually think I know what I'm talking about. I really don't. And as I've been studying the blood, I realize that from the beginning of time, before even Adam and Eve, God's got this incredible mysterious story. Paul actually says in the New Testament, he will say it's the mystery of Christ over and over again. This mystery, this mystery, this mystery. And you're like, well, what is the mystery? I find it actually remarkable that it wasn't even the ones that were closest to Jesus, the 12 disciples, that actually figured out the mystery. It was Paul who came along later on and figured out the mystery. So I want you to think from our unfortunate little perspective that we're trying to figure out the God of the universe who makes these incredible, like, have you seen the pictures of the galaxies that they're getting back in high resolution? Like, they are seen so far into the universe, it's incredible. Anybody like to watch pictures like that? I love that. So we're trying to get this huge story, and we're trying to think with our little teeny minds how it's all playing out. Have you ever read the Old Testament and you're like, I'm ticked off. I don't understand. Why is this happening? How could he allow this to happen? Anybody else but me? I have. I'm like, how could you let this happen? How could you have them go in and slaughter everyone? It's like sometimes so confusing, but we're trying to get this big picture with our little teeny minds, and we're only on this planet usually for about 100 years, if we're doing well. It's a 6,000-year story, and we're trying to comprehend the whole thing with our little brains. Some of us have bigger brains, but my little brain with 100 years. So I want to let you know, as we've been studying the blood, that there's this incredible mystery throughout the whole Bible, and I am convinced more than I've ever been convinced before, the Bible is about relationship, covenant, and the blood of Jesus. God's relationship with us, the covenant he makes with us, and the blood that he shed to make those covenants. All right, quick review. Do you have those slides? We're going to put the first one up, which I'm not sure which one that is. Here we go. This is one of the ones we looked at. We're going to dive into this in a minute, but this is just the one verse. It says, but now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the cross. Yes, but it's actually through the, wow, what did I do? What did you do? There's power in that. Did you see? I was just about to say, you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. Next slide. This is the pivotal scripture in Leviticus, the Old Testament. For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. It's the, just every once in a while if I say it's the blood. It's the blood. So let's go back to that mystery. You've got God who is trying to, in a moment, go, my people have completely walked away from me. And in Adam and Eve, completely walked away. How do I write a story to get us back to full redemption? Have you ever thought about that? We like it just to be poof, we're back. And what I love about God, and it's so difficult, is sometimes he is so full of grace, he wants to give us choices all the time. So he says, how do I get my people back? Well, this is what I'm gonna do. Because Adam and Eve fell, they're out of the garden, they're out of relationship with me. I have to find a way to get my kids back into relationship with me. So I'm gonna write a story and I have to have a pivotal thing that's gonna get me back. I'm gonna get my kids back. There has to be a pivotal thing. So he put that scripture back up. He chooses something that will be the thing that causes us to begin to get closer to him. And what does he choose? Try it again. What does he choose? Why? Because life is in the blood. So when you read the whole Testament, because it's really stinking big, it's like, okay, why does the blood show up every once in a while? The blood shows up in covenants, the blood shows up in sacrifices, and it's like, ooh, icky. Blood, why? And he is saying, I have to have one thing that's gonna go throughout that will get my people back with me. I'm not God. He could have picked anything. He chose to pick the blood. Why? Because life is in the blood. So he decides that blood is going to be the thing that I can now be redeemed with my people. They can get close to me because my people are kind of messy. Anybody else here messy? Bruce is laughing. You're not raising your hand, though. Are you laughing at everybody else, Bruce? I'm the perfect example. You're the perfect example. Are we not messy? We are. Okay, next slide. This is just another translation. This is King James. It's actually King James. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Now, really quickly, I want to show you something. Anybody know what that word atonement means? Words that we don't normally, we caught that at the very end of the sermon last week. You might have missed it. Anybody know what atonement means? No scholars in here? Dorman, this is going to be your sin. You're welcome. Need a bigger blanket. We don't have time, Dorman. Okay. So atonement means this. They make a sacrifice in the Old Testament, and atonement comes and covers it up. For the people that were far from God, covering it up is pretty good, isn't it? God can't see it. It's completely covered up. In Dorman's case, we'd have to get several blankets. He said it, not me. The old Dorman. Sometimes the new, no. So just remember that, all right? This is just a quick review. So we've got this story written about the blood. Now I want to go, turn with me to Ephesians. This is where we're going to pick up, because we've been reading one scripture only in the context of one verse. But go to Ephesians. I got to find it myself. Get out your Bibles. Get out your phones. Okay, Ephesians 2. We have been reading this one verse, but now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. How many were far off at one point? Like far off. Everybody raise your hand, because every one of us, you're like, well, I didn't do a lot of sinning. Every one of us were far off. Let's read it, and then I'm going to explain it. Verse 11, Ephesians 2, verse 11. I'm going to read it out of two versions. This is the New King James. Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off and have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let me read that out of a much easier translation. How many have a new NLT? If you can switch to it, switch to the NLT, New Living Translation. It says this, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Unless you're Jewish in blood, every hand should be up. Raise your hand. Like, seriously, I want you to know you are a Gentile. It says, don't forget you Gentiles used to be outsiders. So stop for a minute. Do you realize that unless Jesus came, died on the cross and shed his blood, we would still have absolutely zero access to God? Have you ever thought about that? The only way in the Old Testament you had access to God is you were Jewish. This is where my brain begins to go, Lord, I don't get it. How is that fair? And then you begin to go, okay, wait a minute. He is trying to write a story over 4,000 years to find a way to get his kids back. So you could look at it as, I don't get it, which I often do, or you can look at it as the mystery where you begin to go, oh, look what he's doing all along the way to make a road for his kids to come back. I have three kids. How many of you have kids? I like being active. It's just good to get, you switch hands every once in a while, you know. What would you do for your kids?
Anything.
I'm with you, Richard. Anybody else want to say that? Even for the ones that bug you sometimes? Drive you crazy? I jump in front of a car. I'd embarrass my... I remember Caleb was... if you remember this, Caleb, we were tobogganing, and I was bringing the kids... You know, three kids, it was just me. Krista wasn't there. We go tobogganing. It's a great time. And it's in Kingsville, and all the cars are kind of parked on the side. It's a fairly busy street, but all the cars park to be able to go down that really big, small hill in Kingsville. So big when you're a kid. I don't know what happens to it, but... And as we're walking, Caleb sees our vehicle, and it's across the street, and he starts to run. And he goes between the two parked vehicles and runs onto the road. I yelled so loud that the whole hill froze. And very possibly the car heard me because he stops just in time. But I screamed at the top of my lungs. And you know what's funny? In that moment, I didn't think about what people would think. I was like, well, if I scream, I'm going to be embarrassed. It's just pure stop! And he froze, the car froze, time froze, and my heart started to beat again. Won't we do anything for our kids? Huh. Do you know that when God made the world, Adam and Eve were not Jewish? They were people. They were his children. He loved his kids. They made a mistake, but I believe he was heartbroken. So I can often look for 4,000 years and go, Lord, what are you doing? And yet there's this beautiful mystery that we begin to see. Like I said, that rock that's put in there, that rock in this case is the blood of Jesus, that when it finally comes, he could pull it out and everything falls. And you're like, oh, we're free. It's incredible. But the whole time for 4,000 years, you're like, I don't understand. Like, I can't imagine. I'm reading the whole story. They don't even have the whole story. They just got a little section. And I can imagine that the Jewish people are like, well, we're the chosen ones. We are it. And God's like, I had to pick a people. So cool it. And if you look, their life is not so great because they make a lot of mistakes. But wrapped up in this story, he's like, I know you guys only see it's for you, but wait till you see what I do. So let's read this again now. Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, don't forget that you Gentiles, you used to be outsiders. Okay, so now I want you to take out of your brain that you used to sin and you are far from God. That is true. But now I want you to understand you are Gentiles with no way to God. Zero way to God. He says, you were called uncircumcised heathens. Well, that's a lovely term. By the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. Like, he's saying to them, like, you were not part of their heritage. You were not part of their bloodline. You had no place in the covenant with them. Nothing. You are far from God. You feel a little farther from God maybe right now? Because that was us. No way. No opportunity. Continues on. I'll read that again. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promise God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Everybody should say amen to that. Amen. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself was brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So I want you to imagine this wall full of rocks like in that movie. And there's this one kingpin. It's like that one thing, how do I unite my kids? And he's like, that little thing you think is so small, the blood, when I pull it in with my blood, Jesus's blood, this whole thing is gonna come down and there's gonna be unity. We can be united finally. And how big of a deal is that? For 4,000 years, there was no access for Gentiles to get to God. 4,000, we live in a great day. Like seriously, we live in a day where actually we have a Bible we can read and understand this. For 4,000 years, they would look on. Can you imagine looking on? If you had even an inkling, you're looking at the temple going, I can't get close to that. I'm not allowed to have that. The covenant is not with me. It's with those people. They're going to have sacrifices. They're going to get clean. I'm not. Stink. How do I get right with God? Who is God? I don't even know. But they seem to have a God. That's why as you read through it, kings will be like, who is your God? Because he seems to be way more powerful than our God. But we can't get close to him. And here we live, the dividing line that says now, because of this mystery in Jesus Christ, we are now close to God. We have access to God. That's a phenomenal thing. Amazing. I want to look at one more scripture. Scripture that I love the wording. So turn with me to Hebrews. There's so much and so long we could talk about with the blood. Turn with me to do two scriptures in Hebrews. Excited to hear which one it is? Me too. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 7. Let's jump back for a quick review. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, I believe. In the temple, let me do this. Let me read this. This is not the scripture. You just listen to this. This is from Andrew Murray. And he says this. Anybody know Andrew Murray, the writings of Andrew Murray? Older ones might. He says, imagine yourself in this temple. This is the temple of the Jewish temple, Solomon's temple. He says, you notice that the blood is the center and reason for all of it, for the whole temple. Draw near to the vestibule of the earthly temple of the heavenly king, and the first thing visible is the altar of burnt offering. So this, he's describing the temple. He says, where the altering of burnt offering, where the sprinkling of blood continues without ceasing from morning until evening. Why? Because life is in the blood. Enter the holy place, and the most conspicuous thing is the golden altar of incense, which is constantly sprinkled with the blood. Why? Because life is in the blood. Ask what lies beyond the holy place, and you will be told that it is the most holy place where God dwells. If you ask how he dwells there and how he is approached, you will be told, not without blood. The golden throne where his glory shines is itself sprinkled with the blood once every year when the high priest alone enters to bring the blood and to worship God. The highest act in the worship is the sprinkling of blood. So what he's describing is this really, in our day, very gruesome thing where we would see a whole lot of blood. You walk in, they're sprinkling the burnt offering with blood. You go a little further, it's blood. Go a little further, it's blood. The high priest that needs to go into the holy place would take the blood, put the blood on him, because it was the only way. Can you put that back up, please? The one before it. For if the life is in the blood, it's to purify, to make you right, to exchange for purification, because the high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies unless he was perfectly clean. How do you get perfectly clean? The blood. It's gruesome to us, but this is the mystery that he's written throughout the Bible, that blood purifies you. I wouldn't want to have been a high priest. If somehow you mess that up, you go in there, you die. Aren't you glad you live on this side? Like, seriously, can you imagine the body count? If we're coming into church and we have to be perfect, we have ushers like, sorry guys, another one. Just dragging them out. See, we don't think like that, but this is what it was like. If the high priest went in there with anything wrong without doing the proper purification, he would walk in and die. That's why they had bells. Be there with bells on. Because if the bells stop moving, stop ringing, he's done. So there's blood. They sprinkle the blood. There's blood. There's blood. For him, there's blood. He takes the blood in. Okay, I survived. Now I go to the Holy of Holies and I put blood there. Why? Because it's purification, purification, purification. So let's read that scripture now. Hebrews 9, verse 7. It says, but into the second part of the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. I'm going to read it one more time. But the second part of the high priest went alone once a year. The second part, the high priest went alone once a year. This is the line I want you to get. This is New King James. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. I wrap it all up to get to this point. I actually feel a little conviction that I think we haven't told people the whole story. I'm actually seriously convicted when somebody comes to Christ and we tell them just receive Jesus into your heart. Because the story is so much bigger than that. Answer these questions with me just for fun. It's not a trick question, okay? Just try it. I want to join a road cycling group. The response is going to be not without a, if you're going to join a road cycling group, pedal bikes, you're not without a, thank you. You see, you guys are getting it already. Something going on that I should know about, emergency. I want to join a hunting group with rifles, not without a, it makes no sense. I'm going to be a part of a group. I'm going to go every day and watch. No, you're not. You can't be a part of a group without a rifle. I want to join a golf team, not without pair of shoes. You're forbidden to speak. I knew there'd be one that would start to change it up. I saw a funny meme the other day. It said, devices that help you find water. And it had all the old things, the witching sticks and all the things. And the last picture was a golf ball with a golf club. Things that help you find water. I want to go canoeing, not without a paddle works too. I'd like to get married, not without a spouse. I want to join the kingdom of God and be part of the new covenant. Or that we say, hey, just have without the blood. See, what I think we've done is we've sold people short that we say, hey, just ask Jesus in your heart. Yes, you are saying, Lord, I want to serve you. But do we understand what he did to get us to that place? A 4,000-year story for him to then die on a cross. And basically the answer is he had to do it, but it had to be with his blood. But here's the crazy thing. If you begin to read now with eyes that see the blood, you will begin to see that everything that we want, that we go for, everything we desire is actually connected to the blood. I'm not going to have time today to go through it, but everything, we just saw an Old Testament scripture that said to make you right, to make you purified, to make you righteous. So it looks like this. If you want to get down to it, access to God, not without the blood. Right? Salvation, once you were far from God because you were a Gentile and they were Jews, it was their God. Jesus dies on the cross so you can have access and salvation. So what is it? Salvation and access? Not without the blood. Entering into the Holy of Holies, one priest. So this is both for Jew and Gentile that receive Christ. One priest, once a year. And then it says, because of his blood, we now have access to the Holy of Holies. You realize when you come and worship and you enter into that place of worship, you have access to go, Lord, I want to go into your presence. Anybody with me? Do you understand that before you had no access to God, no ability to be close to him? And now, how many have ever felt the presence of God? You would never have felt the presence of God before because you did not have access to the Holy of Holies. How did you get there? With the blood. It's the only way. You say, how is that possible? Because the blood is the only thing that purifies. You can't stand in front of a holy God and live without being purified. How did you get purified? Come on, say it together. With the blood. See that little rock that pulls it out and everything opens up? This is what I'm talking about. That little rock is not so little. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us there. And I'll confess, I've read for many times, I'm like, oh, that's so cool, the blood. And now I'm like, oh, it's the blood. A 4,000-year story that culminates with Jesus' blood on the cross. I'm like, every day we should be like, oh my gosh, I get to love you. I have access because of the blood. I have salvation because of the blood. I get to enter into the Holy of Holies because of the blood. Forgiveness. Do you know that forgiveness was not possible really with God unless he died and shed his blood? Reconciliation was not possible without the blood. Peace was not possible. Healing was not possible. Justification was not possible. Redemption was not possible. It's not just the cross. It's actually the blood that he shed literally when they, do you remember when he died? They took the spear, they speared his side, and what did they say came out? Blood and water. In that moment, We're going to get ready. I remembered. We're going to get ready to take communion, but listen. You can go ahead and grab it. He says in Matthew 26:27, it says, then he took the cup. And yeah, if you need one, just raise your hands. They'll come around. He says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. You realize that when they took that spear, we maybe don't understand this, but when they took that spear and they stabbed him, in that moment, he made a new covenant with his people. Like in that moment, a written covenant that says, Gentiles will no longer be separated. They now have access. Boom. That we get to do this in remembrance of that moment to go, I was not even able to get close to God, but now I'm close. Because of a cross, a sinless Savior, and a spear. And in that moment where he was pierced, literally the covenant was written for all time, forever, once and for all, that we no longer have to earn it. We no longer are separated. We are now actually able to get close to God. And we should be more excited than any people on earth, hopefully all the people on earth. Because until that moment, I don't know if I'm making it clear, until that moment, Gentiles were not able to get close to God. And everyone in this room, as far as I know it, is a Gentile. We're not Jewish. Interesting, though, that they are actually in the same place now as us. Because it's a decision that they still have to make. But until that moment, they actually had access to God. That's why when you read that, he's like, well, you know, you were uncircumcised heathens, although they were circumcised, but it was only part of their body and not their hearts. But he's like, I had to get here somehow. I had to find a way to get here. I had to tell a story. I had to write a story through all time, through 4,000 years. You think about it. He loved you so much that he wrote a story to get you back for 4,000 years. Like if you ever, 4,000 years, actually for us it's 6,000 years. But it happened 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. But we're like, does God really love me? I don't know. He wrote a story for 4,000 years to get you back. I think that's a lot of love. Died on a cross to get you back. That's a lot of love. Following me? I'm going to read one more version of this because I think it's really cool. This is Ephesians 2. 11 to 13, it says, so don't forget that you were born as Jews. You were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and you were without God. I love this line. It says, yet look at you now. It's like, ooh, look at you now. Look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually, did you in Christ? Turn to your neighbor and say, look at you now. Did you say it that way though? You gotta say it that way. Look at you now. So just before we take communion, let me just try it one more time. This is why if somebody says, I go to church all the time. I'm going to heaven, not without the blood. I read a lot of good self-help books and I'm a really good person to people. Don't I get to go to heaven? Not without the blood. You know, come on, I don't know how to say it any different, right? I do all the right things. We have to begin to understand, not without the blood. And I think where we've done people an injustice, if we just say, hey, just ask the Lord into your heart, and we don't really help, it doesn't mean that they have to have the full understanding, but I'll tell you, at some point, they need to understand that somebody shed their blood for them to get here. Somebody, not just somebody, the spotless, sinless lamb who lived and died and was beaten and broken. This was the 4,000 year story, that rock that he just wanted to pull and say, watch what happens. That's not just a little thing, that's a huge thing. And I think people have to begin to understand that it is the blood and nothing but the blood. But if we never teach the blood and go, are you covered in the blood? They'll be like, you are weird. But I'll tell you, I hope if you step back now and go, okay, the blood is the most important thing. Like, he couldn't just die on the cross. There had to be blood because covenants are made with blood. And we're about to partake of a covenant that says, you are made righteous because of the blood. You are made holy because of the blood. You are saved because of the blood. Erica, we're believing for healing because of the blood. That's the covenant that he wants us to remember, to go, oh my goodness, this is a good covenant. You are now part of the covenant and part of the body because of the blood. Let's open it. You're like, did that 10 minutes ago. Doesn't it make you go, okay, this is really powerful? Not the grape juice, but it says, do this in remembrance. What we're doing is going, Lord, I'm reaching into what you did on that cross. Like, how many want to reach in for Erica's healing because of the cross? Right? That's why I believe people can come in that are going to be so broken and messed up, and we can go, I'm going to help you reach into the cross and the blood that was shed to see you come into wholeness. I need it. You need it. I need it. Every day. I'm beginning to realize it's not a one-time thing. I need to help me, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you. The body that was broken, Lord, that you would send your son, because you love us so much, that you would do whatever it takes to get the whole body back, the whole group of people, the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Lord, we thank you that what we partake of is literally, we're reaching in to partake of your son and the covenant that he made. So Lord, whatever we need, we're asking for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lord, now as we take the blood, Lord, I thank you that we can understand it's not without the blood. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to go to some place to sacrifice something. You did it once and for all. For all time, for eternity, for all sins, for all people, if they would receive you. So Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for all that it has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to give you one bit of news and then we're going to pray. You want good news? You know what the cool thing is? Atonement is an Old Testament word that we said means to what? Cover your sin. Once a year, they'd have to do this ceremony and it would cover your sin. Let me give you the really good news. Hebrews 9:26 says, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by sacrificing himself. Doesn't sound too amazing, put away sin, until you actually look up the word. That word put away means to abolish. It means to annul, to make void, to obliterate. How many like your sin? Like, I don't like, it's great if it's covered up and you're like, woohoo, still there. But here's the cool thing in the New Testament. He obliterated it once and for all. Like, there's no evidence. There's nothing. So when you look under there, you're like, I'm going to find my sin, right? It's like, oh, it's gone. But how often, another sermon, how often do we walk around still with it? And he's like, well, I obliterated it. You came to me. You asked for forgiveness for all time. You can have access to this anytime you want. You came to me. I forgave you. You're still looking for it. Oh, that's right. You obliterated it, didn't you? Yep. For all time. So, Lord, we thank you. What an amazing mystery you have written. Lord, I thank you for that one kingpin, that stone, the blood that when pulled away, we have access through. Lord, I thank you truly that we live on this side, that we are people that have access to your kingdom, to the King, and to his presence. We thank you for the blood that has gotten us here. Lord, I pray as we go today that that would ring through our ears, not without blood, not without blood. I thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.